Well, Overland Park, get ready for an invasion. Thousands of high school students are about to descend on the city in what's described as the largest high school competition in the world. It's the National Speech and Debate Tournament, which marks the capstone of high school speech and debate activities for nearly 130,000 students around the country. Those coming to Overland Park have placed among the top competitors at one of 110 district tournaments. They're all competing for more than $200,000 in college scholarships. Today, we explore the relevance of these topics in education, why students should study speech and debate, and how these skills provide lifelong advantages to their participants. We'll also talk about an organization called Debate KC. Joining me now is Isaac Allen. He's Program Director of Debate Kansas City at UMKC. And Isaac, welcome. Nice to have you.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Jamel Brown has taught and coached speech and debate at Sumner Academy for the last 10 years. She's been honored multiple times for her work as an educator, including Kansas Teacher of the Year in 2008. Hi, Janelle. It's so good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
And Aaliyah Shaw is also here. She's a sophomore at Sumner Academy. She competes in both speech and debate competitions, and we're hoping she'll give us some examples of her competition work. And Aaliyah, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, Isaac, why is Overland Park hosting the National Speech and Debate Tournament this week? What's going on?
Well, they were one of the cities that bid to have the national tournament. There's a process that they go through, and Kansas City's sort of uniquely situated here in the middle of the country. We have really great facilities for them to use, and we won the bid.
And this is going to be a pretty darn big deal, right?
A huge deal. Over 7,000 people come to this tournament, from students, coaches, and we'll be spread out all over in Johnson County. Shawnee Mission School District and the Blue Valley School District schools will be hosting this event.
So if residents see lots of students walking around the next couple of weeks, they're going to know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. You can't miss them.
Jamel Brown, how big of a deal is this in your estimation, that the Kansas City area is getting this thing?
Oh, it's a big deal. Mm. We've had an opportunity to compete at this tournament at other sites, and so it's really exciting that it's right here in our own backyard. So we're really excited.
And to what extent does it gin up your own students, get them excited about the whole art and challenge of speech and debate?
Well, it's nice because even if they're not qualified to compete at the tournament next week, they'll have an opportunity to go and watch rounds, to watch elimination rounds, to meet kids from all over the country. And so they're really excited and looking forward to it.
And they'll see what it's like to compete at that
exactly.
high level then.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Aaliyah Shaw, you're going to be out there next week?
Yes, I will. I will be out there.
And what do you plan on seeing? What do you plan on? Are you going to compete?
No, I'm not competing, okay. Actually, but I will be watching original oration, and which is an event in forensics, and so I'll be excited to see that.
What is original oration?
Well, what that is, which is my event that I did for forensics, what that is basically you're telling a story to your judge, and what you're trying to do is persuade them to do the thing you're talking about. And my oration was about forgiveness.
Mm.
And so I was trying to persuade them about forgiveness.
And why it's an important thing to do
yes.
once in a while.
Yeah.
We all need to do that once in a while.
Yes.
So when you're watching this competition this week, again, at this national level, what kinds of things are you going to be watching for? What might help you become a better participant in the years to come?
Just to see how people interact with the judge, just to see how they talk, how their speech flows together, and how they really connect and get the judge to listen and understand them, to really basically learn mm-hmm. and to go out and do what they're trying to persuade them to do.
How long have you been doing this?
I started debate in the 7th grade, and I continued with that, but then last season, when I was a 9th grader, I started forensics, mm-hmm. and I actually fell in love with it. So now I do debate during the first semesters of school, and then the next semesters, I do forensics.
Isaac, I help a rookie out here. The difference between speech and forensics is what?
Well, I would say debate is, you have a topic and two different sides that are opposing, and they debate in front of a judge, and they decide, who won that debate round. And forensics are more artistic in nature, so it would be things like dramatic interpretation,
poetry,
absolutely. So one is more on the sort of art side of things, and the other is more on sort of the academic competition side of things.
Now, you were saying this is the largest high school competition in the world. That's saying something. Explain that to me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely a huge tournament. It has people from every state across the country, but even folks from around the world. There are people from Korea, people from China that come and participate in this because it is such a big deal. And actually, one of the things we're working on, there's a middle school component, and we are always debating against a couple schools from Korea that come and do that. And Debate Kansas City is going to have about 50 kids from 9 different schools that are competing in the middle school component of this tournament.
Yeah, Debate Kansas City. Jamel, explain what Debate Kansas City is and where that plays into all this here.
Well, Debate Kansas City is the urban debate league that's right here in the greater Kansas City area for both the Kansas and the Missouri side. And I'm in a kind of unique situation in that I compete during the fall semester. My students are in debate, like Aaliyah said, and then in the forensic season or the speech season is the second semester. And I also have middle school competitors and high school competitors. My middle school team, they have an opportunity to compete several times a month with this urban debate league, Debate Kansas City. And it's a phenomenal opportunity for my middle school kids to understand and to learn how to compete, how debate works, what the different types of debate forms are. And so they compete in those tournaments during both the fall and the spring semester. My high school students compete. We compete in like the Eastern Kansas tournaments for both debate and also on the speech side for forensics. And so I have an opportunity to have my feet kind of dipped in both worlds, which is really fun.
You know, I get the impression that once kids begin to engage with all of this, with speech and forensics and debate, that, you know, once the light bulb goes off, they really bite hard and engage heavily. Do I have that right?
You are right on the money. Yes, indeed.
And why is that?
Well, when you find your voice, when you find that you have a talent, that you have something that you can say verbally that's going to change possibly the entire world, that's major. That's huge. And so this is the sport for a lot of my kids that they engage in on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. This is what it takes in order to have that voice that you can now express to the world. Whether if you're writing and performing a speech or doing a policy debate round, this is your voice that now gets to, you know, shine for your competition and for your judges and for your audience.
Aaliyah, kids, when they bite hard?
Yes, very
hard. You got into it pretty deeply?
Yeah, I did. I actually did policy, and I was with a partner, my friend Marley, and we really got into it. We enjoyed it. It was a lot of work in trying to find the right evidence and information to back up your speech and in the debate round. But when you got in there, it just, you started, like, basically developing a case, and you ran with it, and it became enjoyable.
What was it that's enjoyable? What is it that hooked you so hard?
When, like, basically the part of you're counting someone's argument. So I guess the arguing part of it, the part where you get to say, no, that's not right, or no, I'm better, or anything like that. So I really like that aspect of it.
So it's a way to compete in a way. Do you play physical sports or not?
Oh,
is that not your thing?
No, I'm usually academic sports.
Okay, and this is a way for you to get that competition out of you and really go at something here then, eh? Sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
It
is. Let me get our listeners involved here. Did you compete in speech and debate when you were in school? And what skills did you develop that helped you later on in life as a result of all that? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. How many kids are going to be here in town this weekend, Isaac, this week?
4,000 students and about 3,000 more coaches and competitors will be coming to Kansas City.
Just how good are these students who are competing? What kind of quality are we going to see this week?
Oh, it's amazing. They're the best and brightest students from across the country. Really, when you go see a debate, you're seeing future leaders. You're going to see the people who are sitting in the CEO chairs, the people who are running government. Really, anybody who's going to be anybody in the future is going to be at this tournament. I mean, speech and debate just creates leaders.
And Jamel, and they're taking part in a whole array of competitions. Tell us about some of the different categories of debate. Walk us through and explain what some of them are.
Yes, indeed. On the debate side, you have policy debate and you have public forum debate, Lincoln-Douglas debate, and congressional debate. Hmm. And those are all different forms of debate. Some are with a partner, some are individual, but you have more of your evidence that you're presenting. You're presenting a side, like you're the pro or the affirmative, the con, the negative. And then on the speech side, you have your acting events, your interp events, and your public speaking events. Hmm. You have what's called extemporaneous speaking, and that can be on both the foreign and also the domestic side. That's when students draw a topic, basically out of like an envelope. They have three options of three current events, and then they have 30 minutes to prepare a speech. There's also what's called dramatic and humorous interpretation.
Wait, they have 30 minutes to prepare a speech?
Yes, yes.
That's not a whole lot of time.
It's not a lot of time, and you have a lot of research that you've done to prepare ahead of time before you actually get to the competition. And so it's all about being able to take your ideas, formulate them, pull in some evidence and facts, and make this speech come alive. So it's a really quick process, but the kids love it.
What's so interesting to me when I hear you describe this is, you know, this is so antithetical to the way so many of us look at kids these days as folks who just want to spend time on their phones. Mm. And here you are taking young people and putting them in front of other people and asking them to speak, in some cases, extemporaneously. And that's so opposite of what so many young people you would think they would want to do these days. You're putting them in a whole different realm, aren't you?
Exactly. And that's one of the loves of speech and debate. You get to see kids in a positive light doing something that they love and they are benefiting from this. Kids love research. You would be surprised.
Really?
Kids love to research. Kids love current events. They love to know what's going on right now in the news. They love to research. They love to memorize lines for a skit. They love to become a character for an interp scene. Kids love that. And so this gives them that outlet. And it gives them that outlet in a very positive manner.
But Aaliyah, I thought that most young people, the last thing on earth they would want to do would be to get up in front of a group of strangers and speak publicly. That's not what young people want to do, is it?
Well, before I joined debate,
yeah,
I was very shy, and
yeah,
I never wanted to go up in front of anyone.
Of course not.
But you'd be surprised how much the debate helps you with letting out your confidence, and it helps with public speaking and just getting, basically helping you develop those speaking skills that sometime in your life you will need.
And here you are on a radio station, sounded like $1 million bucks on live radio. You've made it, right?
You've
done it all here.
Yeah.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We want to know if you competed in speech and debate when you were in high school, and what skills did you develop that helped you later on in life? And we're going to talk about that and the tremendous impact that speech and debate can have on a young person's development. Let's go to some calls here. And Gavin from Overland Park. Gavin, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I stumbled into debate actually accidentally to impress a girl in the 1980s.
Did it work?
Well, I don't know if it did. There were other girls later, but Sumner Academy was actually the first tournament I ever won, but I'm so grateful even to this day. I have friendships that have even continued. It helped me with confidence. It helped me with research skills. I have friendships that have continued to this day. I participated in the national tournament in Student Congress in San Antonio in 1984. I owe so much in my life to debate and speech, and I'm going to be judging next week, in fact.
Oh, good for you.
Hey,
Gavin, why did the friendships that you forged become so long-lasting? What is it about debate and forensics that sort of fueled that?
Well, there's something about the competition. When you're trying to beat somebody, I think, oddly, you become friends with somebody when you're trying to beat them, but you don't actually hate them. I don't know if I can explain it terribly well, but you're trying to win.
I'm struggling with you so far.
But it's born of competition, but it's also born of a shared experience, and
yeah,
we all went through it. And I'm still very good friends with so many fellow debaters and what we referred to as forensicators back in the day. We're still friends because we all shared it. We all went through the same thing. We all cut cards together, and we were all at camp together.
Oh, that's a good phone call, Gavin. I'm glad you made it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Isaac, I read somewhere that some of the judges you have for this week's competitions, these are well-known, even celebrities coming to town to help deal with all this?
Yes, there's debate experts from across the country that will be coming in. I myself will be judging. They do have some celebrities. I don't remember exactly who they're bringing. But this tournament is a big deal, and we're going to have experts and all sorts of people judging at this competition.
Because you have to have people judging these things. I've done this in my own high school with my own kids. I remember when I walked in, I didn't know what to grade them on, and it helps to know what the heck this is all about,
well,
doesn't it?
It does help to have judges who are familiar with the activity, but truthfully, a lot of the judges are just community members, and it's up to the debaters, we always say, to adapt to whoever is in the back of that room. Mm-hmm. And so our debaters have to be ready to persuade anyone, whether it's just someone coming in off the street who's, you know, been brought into the tournament, or someone who's been doing debate for 30 years. It doesn't matter. They still have to persuade that person in the back of the room.
Okay, back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Cindy from Overland Park. We're talking about national debate, the National Speech and Debate Tournament coming to Overland Park this week. And Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have a son who debated all 4 years of high school and college.
Wow.
And I cannot think of any negatives to debate. All positive experiences. I'd highly recommend it to anybody who's never tried it. It led on to a career. He now is a coach for a high school.
No kidding.
And my question is, the Kansas State High School Athletic Association, which governs debate in Kansas, used to have a rule that said that students could not travel to tournaments outside of the state except for the national tournament. Is that rule still in effect?
I can answer on that.
Jamaica,
this is Jamel from Sumner Academy.
I'm sorry,
There is a rule that still exists. It's the 500-mile rule, and you still have to have permission from KASHA, the Kansas High School Activities Association, and it has to be something that's sanctioned and approved by KASHA. However, now there's another national tournament, the National Catholic Forensics League tournament, that a lot of Kansas schools compete and participate in. There's also other debate and speech competitions that happen throughout the years that schools do have permission to travel to. So it's opened up just a little bit, but we still have to have permission. We can't go beyond our 500-mile rule, and that's from any border in the state of Kansas. But they've opened it up a little bit.
Okay. So I know about the Catholic tournament, the CFL in Chicago.
Yes.
Have they opened it up to let them go to the TOC in Kentucky?
That, I believe, has not been 100% sanctioned yet, and so I don't want to answer that, but you still have to get permission for those.
Isaac, hop in here.
Yeah, we did recently get the National Urban Debate Tournament cleared with Kansas this last year, and Sumner was the first team from Kansas to be able to participate in that. And, you know, I think slowly but surely we're working with the Kansas High School Association to kind of broaden those rules.
Okay. Cindy, thank you for calling.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate
thank
it.
You.
You know, Jamel, how do you take, when you first start out teaching young people, perhaps in their first class in debate or forensics, whatever it is they're taking for the first time out, how do you get them started? How do you get them over the hump of this fear that most people have of speaking in public?
Yes, and I always start off all of my speech classes with the number one fear for Americans is public speaking.
There you go.
That is the number one fear.
There you go.
And so I tell them, I'm glad that you're here in this classroom. I know that some of you are here not by your own choice. Your schedule just put you in this class, or you thought it would be an easy A, but I want you to know that you're on a journey, and what you put into this activity is what you're going to gain and get out of it. And so we talk about, how do you get rid of stage fright? I don't think you ever 100% get rid of it, but how do you control your stage fright? And what are the benefits for participating in speech and debate? And let's talk about those things. And so first, it's like a dialogue on how do we take this activity and grow and make it like our best friend, basically.
How do you control stage fright?
There are different things you can do as far as breathing, also making sure you're focused on whatever event or whatever speech you're, you know, delivering. And also, we were just talking in the green room sometimes with that body language and how you, you know, physically stand and how you hold your head and how you breathe can help you control those things. But you want to sometimes take that adrenaline and run with it and use that as your fuel to keep yourself motivated and to keep yourself going.
Aaliyah Shaw, what was your biggest fear and how did you overcome it when it came to speech and debate?
My biggest fear was eye contact. Oh. I was always nervous and always looking down and trying to avoid the person that I was talking to.
And just for the record, you're making very good eye contact with me right now. You've overcome that one very well here.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, yeah.
And how I overcame that was basically practice and basically listening to the other person that I'm trying to connect to. And once you make good eye contact, then they're listening to you too. And that's what I wanted when I was performing. That's what I wanted when I was speaking. And when I started doing that, then I received that. And so that's basically how I overcame that.
I love watching your hand gestures. You've got very good hand gestures. It's all sort of working together now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
you're doing a very good job. Back to some phone calls here. And Tam, calling from Lawrence. Tam, good morning.
Hi. Jamel, hi.
Hi.
This is Tam Osgood.
Yes, how are you?
Lovely to hear you.
Thank you.
I'm great. I'm a Rule 10 coach that has coached off and on for 25 years in Kansas, and I teach a series of debate workshops during the summer. And I got to tell you, several people have said this. This is the best. I debated in high school and college. This is the best thing I ever did. This teaches kids to negotiate, to organize, to research, to understand both sides of issues, to argue effectively, not angrily. You know, I can't think of a single activity that a kid could take in school that's more important than this. And I wanted to congratulate Jamel and her team and just say that I'll be up at the tournament next week and looking forward to seeing everybody.
All right,
great,
Tam.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Doris here from Independence. Doris, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about speech and debate in a national tournament coming to Overland Park this week. Good morning.
This is a very exciting topic, and these kids
Good.
Are amazing.
Yes, they are amazing.
I went to a small high school of about 120 students, and we were the smallest school in the National Forensic League when I was in high school. I'm retired, so it's been a while ago, but I want to say ditto to all of the above. It has taught me so many skills. I've been president of many organizations, and my careers have given me the opportunity to stand on my feet and talk. But I loved extemporaneous speaking and debate. And the only problem with debate is that you never can see just one side of an issue.
Yeah, it's interesting. Talking to a newspaper reporter, Doris, who always has to see both sides of an issue. And that's such good training, I think. It's such a good thing to have. Yeah. Isaac, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the research bears all of this out. There are some great studies that have been done recently. There was a 10-year longitudinal study of the Chicago Urban Debate League that proved that it raises students' GPAs, it makes them more college ready, and most importantly, once they get to college, debaters are far more likely to graduate college than their non-debating peers.
I was so interested in that. That's the topic that interested me as much as anything about this. 40% more likely to graduate from high school, at least based on what I've read here. For African Americans, the number is 70%.
That's correct.
You know, it's staggering numbers. What do you attribute that to, Jamel?
Again, that student had an opportunity to find something that was their niche and run with it. And when you put your mind to something, you're going to put 100% into it. And it gives you a chance to connect with others, whether if it's that coach, your teammates, to have that support system and a mentor who's going to help you and guide you. And it gives you a sense of motivation.
It's a way to take academic knowledge and to compete with it, right? And so many
Correct.
Kids yes. want to compete at something, right? It
really, exactly, yes.
What a huge motivator that is, right?
Completely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aaliyah, how about this notion, how popular is debate at Sumner? Is it accepted? Is it cool? Is it hip? Is it all those things?
Oh, yes, it is, actually, because there's so many people that actually participate in it. It's lower classmen, upper classmen. It's basically everyone together, and we work as a team, and we motivate other people to join because it really helps you. And
hey, how many kids roughly are in speech and debate at Sumner?
Let's see, like.
We have around 20 who are like our varsity members, and
yeah.
then every year I get around 50 to 60 newcomers. So right now our team is sitting at around 70, 75. And
well, that's as big as a cross country team at a big high school anywhere in the metro, right?
That's
a lot of kids.
Yes.
So it's clearly pretty widely accepted now.
Oh yes, and the kids love it, and we're the three-time state champions for the 4A division in Kansas for
Good
speech.
For
and so that also motivates kids to want to get involved. And We have great administrative support, and so it's something that we love to do.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Kim from Overland Park. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Well, I just want to say I have four kids at home, and let's just say the top one is 13, and she doesn't like that I took 4 years of debate and forensics as a parent, because I'm always pointing out her illogical thought processes in her debating me on things, and I hear her muttering a lot under her breath as she gets sent to her room for things that she has not made good choices on. So it has helped me be a better parent, and I get to it's helped me also be a better community activist for things that I'm involved in. So I appreciate that. It's allowed me to spend a lot of time at Topeka advocating for 0-3 education for parents and teachers. So debate has impacted many aspects of my life.
All right, Kim, I'm sure glad you called. Thank you. Aaliyah, big question. Do you use your debate skills with your parents?
Oh, all the time.
And your brothers and sisters, if you have
yeah,
any?
Yeah, all the time. Like, they absolutely hate it. You know? But I always use it, like, to basically get the upper hand in anything.
I get that impression.
Yeah.
I bet you're pretty good at it, too. Amy emailed us this with the impact of forensics on her son. I thought I'd let you know, she writes, that my son, Alex Smith's competing in student congress at the National Forensics League tournament. Alex is a Blue Valley Northwest grad with 4 years debate and forensics experience in high school. He's headed for NYU this fall, participating in the MLK Scholars Program and majoring in international relations and business. And proud parent Lillian emailed us this at updatedate@kcur.org. I'm so excited that you're talking about this today. My daughter will be competing. She's also one of the kids that bit hard, so hard that she now wants to be a debate coach to be able to give back to a sport that has given her so much. Thank you, she writes. What a nice thing to say. Let's go back to some calls and Anita from Prairie Village. Anita, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I was very excited to hear about your topic today because I was hugely involved in forensic when I was in high school, and it's from a very small town in Nebraska, and I just am so thrilled that the tournament is here, and I'm glad to hear about it. I'd love to check it out. We had an amazing teacher named Mrs. Coe who just really took these kids from this very small place and just made our world bigger.
Oh,
and,
that's neat.
I think when I'm listening to this, I think the reason people who have done this are so excited about it is because it's the first time kids are really given a voice.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
That's why, you know, as adults, all of us look back so fondly on it is because it was the first time where adults turned to us and we felt this value or that we had something important to say.
You know, Anita, when you said that, all three of my guests began to nod their heads almost in unison. Isaac, that makes sense to you, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I hear this time and time again from all of our students. In fact, Ryan Wash, who won both national college debate championships last year, came back and gave a speech, and that's what he said. He said that, you know, when that timer went off, it was his time to speak, and it was his moment, and it was the first time people had to listen to him. And so it's really just an empowering experience for most students.
Jamel, that makes sense to you, too?
Yes. I competed in both debate and forensics when I was in high school, and it changed me, and it allowed me to see what I really wanted to do. So I was really excited to hear the other callers say that they're son is now going to coach. That's great.
Anita, that's a great phone call. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Roger from Overland Park. Roger, you're on up today. Good morning.
Well, I think I want to amplify the last caller. My daughter worked with the Urban Debate League in New York, and she worked with kids who were functionally illiterate and homeless. And what she found was that when she gave them this new skill or knowledge, they had a possession. They had something that nobody could take from them.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to do something. They knew something. And they found that very empowering.
Roger, thanks for calling. Isaac, Debate Kansas City has an interesting history. The fall of the Iron Curtain helped the organization get started. How did that play out? How did that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Back in 1998, with the fall of the Iron Curtain, there was a bunch of debate and stuff that was happening over in Eastern Europe. And people took a second and they looked around, and in the urban cores across America, there weren't debate teams. In fact, here in Kansas City, there was maybe one or two debate teams. So they started urban debate leagues, and that's what Debate Kansas City is. And essentially what we do is we partner with the area school districts and charter schools in the area to make debate happen. So we'll write curriculum. We will work with students. We'll help train coaches, whatever it takes to make sure that there are debate teams in our schools. And it went from one or two to I think we're up to 35 schools now in the urban area.
And once upon a time, Kansas City had an incredible debate legacy. It was led by a man named Melvin Tolson. Who was he?
Melvin B. Tolson. He is an amazing man. He graduated from Lincoln in 1919. He's the storied debate coach in the Great Debaters movie, which you might have seen, played by Denzel Washington. And he was also one of the best poets of last century.
We have a sample of Melvin Tolson's style from our friends at New Letters on the Air. Let's listen to him reciting the opening lines of Bartender.
Bartender, make it straight and make it two. One for the you in me, and the me in you. Now let us put our heads together. One is half enough for malice, sense, or fun. I know, bartender, yes, I know when the law should wag its tail or rip fang and claw. When Pilate washed his hands, that neat event set for us judges a Caesarian precedent. What I shall tell you now is man to man, is written neither in Bible nor Koran. It happened after my return from France at the bar in Tony's Lady of Romance.
That's the great debate coach, Melvin Tolson. I want to thank Isaac Allen, Jamel Brown, Aaliyah Shaw for coming in today and talking about the National Speech and Debate Tournament. If people want more information about it, they go where?
They can visit debatekansascity.org. We still need volunteers for this national tournament and all throughout the season.